Before we begin today's show,
now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And a reminder that the WNBA is back in action this weekend. The women are playing at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. And if you want to get yourself geared up for Saturday when Sabrina Ionescu's New York Liberty take on Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart and the Seattle Storm, I suggest you check out Wednesday's episode of the ESPN Daily with LaChyna Robinson, who previews the shortened 2020 WNBA season with Pablo Torre. That's the ESPN Daily, which you can check out anywhere you get your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Wednesday evening. That's when we're recording this with Jackie McMullen, who's in New England. Not in Boston, in New England. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Brian. You're such a sleuth.
I got a phone call today yesterday from a number I didn't recognize, and it was you.
It was me.
That's okay. Right. Now I know.
There
now
we go.
I know.
Right.
Joining us from Texas, or he's always in Texas. Even when he's not in Texas, he's representing Texas, is Band McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
So we got basketball today. It was, I had extremely low expectations for the level of play. And some of the teams that played off the bat were down a bunch of players. And even having said that, I have to say it wasn't that bad. I have some hope about this because I think it's going to be sloppy in the early going.
Basketball is like pizza. Even when it's bad, you know, kind of bad, it's still pretty good.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that, but right now that is absolutely true. The Clippers today, Jackie, played with 10 players. And look, it's the first scrimmage. We are a week from their first game. We are 3 weeks from playoff games. We are probably 4 weeks from them having to be, you know, in full power order. But they had 10 guys today, and several starters are not with them. And, okay, it matters in 4 weeks, but this is a team that hasn't had a chance to play together at all season, really. They just
right.
finally got some rhythm before the shutdown. They played their best basketball. Where are you with the Clippers with concern about whether they can get this going?
Well, it's funny you asked this because early on the concern was all about the Lakers. You were wondering if Dwight Howard was going to go. You were wondering if Avery Bradley was going to go, and he didn't. And then Rondo gets hurt, and then there's talk about Caruso having a wedding. So many things, and you're thinking, wow, the Lakers are one of the hardest hit teams. And then you say, isn't it amazing how no one on the Milwaukee Bucks is being affected? And then boom, all of a sudden, Eric Bledsoe says he's positive for COVID. And then Pat Connaughton says he is. And so then you say, okay, good. Well, I guess it's the Clippers of the big three, because I do consider them the big three, that have seemed to have emerged from this somewhat unscathed. And then they lose, you know, I think two of the most important guys on their team in Beverly and Montrezl Harrell, because they're the grit of that team. They're the heart and soul of that team. And I do think it matters for them because of what, you know, I mean, I think it wasn't Kawhi just talking about how it was training camp, except for it's training camp without some really important missing pieces. And I have concern for all of these teams in terms of continuity.
Zubas is watching from home too, which, you know, I think we can kind of read between the lines on that one. But Kawhi is healthy. Paul George is healthy. Montrezl Harrell and Pat Beverly will be back, you know, whether it's before the 8-game season schedule or not. They're not, I mean, the seed is completely irrelevant. They're going to be the 2 seed. The 8-game season schedule for the Clippers is a glorified preseason. It's a tune-up period. As long as they have those guys for most of that or even half of that, I still think they're one of the three with legit shots to win the thing. And I don't know. I'm not going to. I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
You don't think it's a big of a deal, though, because the whole thing about the Clippers was having time together on the floor and building chemistry. Do you not put much weight into that?
Would that be nice? Sure. But you just mentioned the Lakers, okay, who they've got, you know, one starting guard who's not going to show up, one who's out for, you know, who knows? I mean, what? Rondo could be back deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I said 6 to 8 weeks.
Right. You know, Dwight Howard is doing Dwight stuff all of a sudden after, you know, being a quiet non-distraction all year long. Now he wants to do all kinds of IG lives about anti-mask this and vaccines are irrelevant. I mean, he's just being doofus Dwight all of a sudden. You just mentioned the Bucks. They don't have their starting point guard because of coronavirus. You know, Pat Connaughton's a rotation player. He's not there yet. I mean, we can talk about the Rockets. They had their two superstars. Harden missed, you know, what, 5 days. Russ right. just was able to practice. I mean, so my point is, we can go on down the list of teams that, and I'm throwing the Rockets in there just because obviously they have talent. But if you go down the list of contenders, and everybody's got something.
So I think one of the things is we just don't know. So I agree with you on its face. Ultimately, for the games that matter, if you got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you're going to be in great shape. That's the thing that's built on. What we don't know is in this particular one-off moment, how to judge continuity. Because one of the things that I have noticed is, if you know, you just mentioned a whole bunch of things. If you go down the West, Lakers missing some guys, some new players. Clippers missing some guys. Nuggets, I think, have 12
Nuggets
guys.
Nuggets don't have any guards.
They're like decimated. Yeah, they're decimated.
We're going to talk about Bol Bol.
They threw out the anti-Rockets lineup today.
Yeah, they started one of the biggest
5 7-footers.
Yeah, they started they started Nikola Jokic at guard.
I'll talk about that in a minute.
The Nuggets arrived with 8 players. They tried like hell to hide how many players they had for a long time, but eventually the cat had to come out of the bag. They have, I think, 12 players now. I think Michael Porter Jr. was reported by the Denver Post as being on his way. But they only played with 8 in their scrimmage today, with one guard. That was Troy Daniels. The Utah Jazz lost their third best player, Bojan Bogdanović. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tim, you've written at long length and great depth about the, you know, potential things with their stars. We'll see how that goes.
Right. Immediately, though, they have to replace an efficient 20-point-per-game score. That's not exactly an easy task.
For sure.
Right.
We just talked about the Rockets. Their two best players are coming off long absences. I'm sure they'll be fine, but they're off long absences. The point I'm trying to make here is we've got some shake. And then let me bring up I'm going to bring up a team in the East in a second, but let me bring up a team in the West. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm. Okay. 0 positive tests. We had some questions about some guys. Like what, you know, where was Gallinari's head? Danilo Gallinari's head. He comes back and goes, "Oh no, I've been preparing. I'm always going to play. I don't care about my free agency. I'm going to play hard." You've got Chris Paul, who's a man on a mission. You've got Steven Adams coming in and saying, "Hey, we're not in Syria, guys. We're at a freaking resort. Stop complaining."
Right.
Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that their talent. By the way, I've talked to some people with the Thunder, and they are raving about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They say that he's taken even another step during this layoff. And Andre Roberson, who's had multiple issues with his knee, that horrible injury that he had, you know, coming on, you know, a year and a half ago, he's, I think, going to be able to get some minutes. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to build a case that they're going to, like, shock the world. But I'm just telling you, that team has continuity, and from what I can tell, is really focused. And how much is that going to matter? It may not matter. We may be sitting here in a month and going, well, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are pretty damn good. You know, LeBron and AD are pretty damn good. But it may matter, right?
And let me also just add that since January 1st, so we're talking about a 30-plus game stretch of the season, the Thunder went 22-9. the teams with a better record than them during that stretch, Lakers, Bucks, Raptors, that's it. The Thunder played elite basketball for a major, major chunk of the schedule going into the hiatus.
So,
and they're the best closing team. Just when you talk about Cajones factor, you know, clutch closing out games.
Oh,
with
yeah.
that three-guard lineup where Schroeder's in there with CP3 yeah. and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Schroeder's been great for them.
Yeah, he's been great. He's a legit six-man candidate. CP3 running the show down the stretch. They are the best clutch team in basketball this season by a pretty wide statistical margin.
All right, you just mentioned another team. The Raptors of Toronto, the defending champions. Holding on to that trophy longer than any defending champion in history, I believe.
There you go.
Guess who else has had zero positive tests and has been together now for a month?
And is the second best closing team in basketball.
I was going to say, there.
And they have a veteran team, and they got guys on that team who are unaffected. Kyle Lowry doesn't give a bleep. Serge Ibaka doesn't give a bleep. Pascal Siakam, Gasol. And their coach is a guy, okay, who has a long history of winning under crazy circumstances. He's, you know, he's won in like six different leagues. I mean, Nick Nurse likes to tell a story about when he was coaching in Belgium, and they had to, you know, there's different divisions of Belgium, and they were the top team. And what you would do when you played like a lower division team is you'd have to give them points. He talked about how they would have to go on the road to like a high school gym and start the game down 30 points. You know, and if you lost, it was considered a complete embarrassment because you lost to a team two or three divisions down. Like,
my favorite Nick Nurse story is when he was coaching in England, I think it was, and he was too young to drive the team van. So his starting center had to drive the van because he was too young. That's my favorite.
That was before he had his own logo, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's got his own logoed.
It's got a book coming out too.
I want to read about all that stuff. I don't know what's in that book, but I'm just going to say, okay, I'm not saying he's got to pull out a little bit of fairy dust and throw it out there, and all of a sudden, number two Kawhi Leonard's going to be back. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, what does continuity mean? We have the Clippers, and we have the other side here,
and the Raptors. You know, look, they had more. I don't know if this is statistically a fact, but it just seems like they dealt with more injuries than any of the, you know, I'm going to call them an elite team. They're on a 60-win pace. They're the defending champions. I think that qualifies as elite.
Even I think Kawhi's so. They're the number two seed. They got the third best record in the league.
Right. They had more injuries. I mean, all of their guys missed stretches, some of them like major stretches of the season.
Yeah.
They're all healthy. And Nick Nurse, look, series to series, game to game, even quarter to quarter, I think he might be the best defensive game plan / adjustment coach in the league. And he will throw – look, I covered a game up there this season where he threw the full court press of the Mavericks down 30 late in the third quarter. The Raptors came back and won the game. He'll throw out triangle and two. You know, you can call it Harry High School
one.
Stuff. But, yeah. But he's not afraid to throw anything at you. And we saw last year his game plan, along with some great defensive personnel, made life really difficult on Giannis in the playoffs.
Yeah. Agreed. So I've been talking about those two teams a lot, watch them come out and lay eggs, but I see how they are just operating differently. And we talked about on the last pod over the weekend, just how the Raptors have they've bent over backwards and had every idea possible to try to make their situation there as home as possible. But I don't know what it means, but we'll see. So in the first series of scrimmages, you know, some of the games are still going on right now. We're not seeing them, but so the Nuggets today played with A players. They started Bol Bol, who is Manupal's son, 7'2". He went to Oregon, but had a terrible injury, broke the navicular bone in his foot, which is one of the scariest injuries you can have for a big man. It's ended careers. Yao Ming's career, for example. Other players have had it break multiple times and recovered and moved on from it. Brooke Lopez.
Ilgauskas. One
of those. Zydrunas, right? Ilgauskas. Yeah, I think one of the Gasol brothers might have broken it.
Embiid broke the navicular bone.
Multiple times, I believe. So yeah. It's something you get very worried about. And he was regarded at one time as a top 5 or 8 talent. Mm-hmm. Because of the foot injury, slid way in the draft, all the way back. Some teams passed on him twice in the second round alone.
Well, there was other reasons for that, too. There were other reasons for that. There was attitude issues with Bol Bol. That's one of the other reasons. You know, you slip out of the first round because of your injury, but you slip in the second round because people aren't convinced you're serious about wanting to be a great NBA player.
Fair. So the Nuggets, after drafting him, I think at 44, they only signed him to a 2-way contract, and he spent the whole year rehabbing. I don't even know if he played in the G League, to be honest with you. There's been a little bit of chatter about him from the Nuggets, but part of the reason there's been chatter about him is because all their players were back in Denver for various reasons. Some of them have admitted why and some of them have not, but, you know, do whatever you want to do with that. And, you know, Mike Malone was joking, like, you know, we may start him at small forward, we may play him at point guard. And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know if he'll replicate it. It may be the highlight of his career. It may be the beginning. Guys, he was amazing today.
He was fun
amazing.
To watch.
Amazing.
He was fun.
He blocked. I don't remember how many minutes he played, but he blocked 6 shots. He had 16 points or 15 points and 10 rebounds. But beyond those stats, he would. There were times where he would block a shot, run the court and beat everybody. There was one time where he blocked a shot, threw an outlet pass, beat everybody down the court for a dunk. Another time he blocked a shot, went down the court, dribbled it himself, brought it up the floor, pulled up for a 3. Another time he got a loose ball off a rebound, pushed the tempo, drove the basket and threw the ball to finish a fast break for an assist. You know, stick figure, not very much like his father, a little bit shorter, but built very much like his father, Jackie. My gosh, it was just, it was amazing. You know, I've never seen him play before. I didn't see him in high school. I don't think he ever played at Oregon. If he did, I never saw him. I was like, wow.
Right. But see, to me, it's just a cautionary tale of how many talented players there are out there and how much of it is A, opportunity, and B, your reputation. And I think he had an opportunity here because these players are out and he did it. Now, what happens next? Because there's a lot of people who have these great days, these great, you know, 1 great day game, 2 great games. Consistency is what keeps you in the league. And I sound like an old, you know, fuddy-dud, I guess. But I've seen, you know, I've been in the league, watching this league almost 40 years, God help me. And you see this sometimes, and you just hope that they can grab hold of it and stay hold of it and do what they need to do to stay in the league and be consistent enough to get a chance to play. Because there's so much talent out there. Like, you know, Javonte Green, when early in last year in preseason when the Celtics had some injuries and people sitting out, he was doing these, you're like, my gosh, these dunks he was making, these great
plays.
Remember
Carson Edwards in the summer league last year?
Exactly. So I always root for guys. I always root for the young guys, but I root for them to not get swept away by like a moment like this, but to understand that if you put the work in and you do what your coaches ask and you establish some form of consistency, then you have a chance to make it. And I always root for him.
And this really isn't that different than a guy who has a, you know, really kind of flashes in a summer league game. I mean, look.
Yeah, it was like a summer league game. Let's be
honest. And look at the Wizards roster that they put out there, okay?
He was dominating Mo Wagner. No offense to
Mo. Yeah, he's not a bad player. But, it was a – it's not like
– It wasn't Joel Embiid.
You know what? It was fun to watch. We haven't seen basketball. We hadn't watched basketball in so long. It just
I loved it.
It's fun to smile, you know?
I think this is, you know, like you said, Wendy, he was at one point considered a top 10, if not top 5, type of talent in the draft. And I think we at least saw, hey, this is a 7'2" dude with some athleticism, some skills, obvious shot blocking instincts. You know, there's at least lottery type potential in a dude that the Nuggets drafted in the middle of the second round and basically stashed for a year on a two-way deal.
Well, you know,
so you know, it's all upside for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sam Hinkie used to get lightly mocked, or maybe even heavily mocked, by some for drafting guys who had been injured. You know, Nerlens Noel and Joel Embiid. You know, the last two drafts, mm-hmm. Tim Connolly, the team president, he drafted Michael Porter Jr. who had back problems and immediately had another back surgery, and then he drafted Bol Bol. You know, the thing about Tim Connolly, the reason he now has an executive tree with Arturis Kanishevis getting the job in Chicago is because how great of a job they've done drafting. Since he's been there, he's only had one top 5 pick, which right. was a failure, which was Emmanuel Mudiay. While he did trade the pick away that could have been Donovan Mitchell, I think that's important to point out.
And also the Rudy Gobert one. They've done a great job drafting for two franchises.
That's right. good point. They, you know, they drafted Yusuf Nurkic, Jamal Murray, who was the highest pick. I think they had 7.
Yeah.
Gary Harris.
Yeah. Will Barton.
Will
they draft Will Barton?
No,
maybe
not.
Oh,
they signed him.
Like Monty Morris, some of those guys.
Round. I mean, enough said.
Yeah, well, we haven't even got to Jokic yet. Jokic, Monty Morris.
Torrey Craig, right? Did they draft Torrey Craig?
I think they scooped him up after a stint in Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I mean, they just have a good
eye for
talent.
But it's still, you know, it's great front office work, kind of discovering an unknown gem.
Right, and just taking calculated risks, which, you know, he signed, his big signing was Paul Millsap, you know.
It's a great signing.
It's worked out. You
it
know?
Was such a good signing that they, and because I don't think the original plan was to re-up with him for this year that we're in the middle of now. But he was so important to them, they had to.
Yeah. Tim is a guy that I have known. I mean, we're not particularly close, but I met Tim in 2001. He was a scout for the Wizards, scouting the Mid-American Conference, and I was at a game, and he came to scout Chris Kaman. And so, you know, he made his bones, you know, combing the hinterlands for players. So, and that's why the Nuggets are where they are.
Wow, very well respected. He's so well respected, Tim is.
And a good guy. You know, Bol Bol, just, you know, it may be something, we may not talk about Bol Bol again for 9 months, but today was a day to talk about him. The other story today that I thought was amazing, and Zach Lowe wrote it, and I want to pull the story up here because there was some amazing coded language in this story. So, Alex Caruso of the Lakers, he really wanted to go to his sister Megan's wedding last Saturday. And, you know, I'm sure when she scheduled the wedding, she thought July 18th, it's not during the playoffs. It's mm-hmm. not during summer league. Alex will be able to be there. And he talks about how close they are as brother and sister. And he really wanted to go to the wedding. The wedding was in outside Austin. It must have been kind of far outside Austin. I'll tell you why in a minute, but he really wanted to go, and he was even willing to charter a plane to go do it, which my guess was probably to go from Orlando to Austin and back. My guess is that would cost between $30,000 and $40,000. Now, maybe somebody on the Lakers has a hookup where he could get less than that. But my point is, it's not cheap. And, you know, he is an NBA player, but he is not making – he's making $2.7 million. So, you know, I think his sister probably would have just wanted the check for $30,000 would be my guess. But the point is that he really wanted to do it. But, McMahon, you know the COVID situation. And so the NBA, and this is all described by Zach in his story, the NBA, you know, they will give you an excused absence, but they're going to ask you questions about where you're going. And if you have an excused absence and you get tested every day while you're gone, you can come back. And if you keep tested negative, you can come back after 4 days. So if he was gone on, you know, Saturday and came back on Sunday, he would be able to come back for, you know, the end of this, the Lakers scrimmages, and certainly be back for the start of their season. But when the NBA started asking questions, he was like, well, yeah, it's a 100-person wedding. Oh, okay. That's kind of a big wedding for COVID. And
in Texas right now.
In Texas and right, and indoors.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then
it's amazing it's allowed. It's amazing it's allowed. Well, what's going on with that state of yours?
Don't get me started. There are some amazing quotes in the story. I'll get to some in just a second, but hold on. So he was asked about, he said he just watched a bunch of videos. By the way, he couldn't FaceTime it because the service wasn't good enough. I mean, Texas.
My guess is they're out in the hill country.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been to the hill country. I've had service. It must have been way out in the hill country. So here's what he said about when he watched videos. He was like, well, there were some people that should have had masks on that didn't. I would say about 75% of them had them on. Texas and Florida, they can kind of be their own countries at times. Some people just like to do their own thing. So basically what happened was the NBA was like, look, Alex, you can go to this, but, you know, we're probably not going to be able to put you on a 4-day quarantine. We're probably going to have to put you on
a high risk situation, going to a coronavirus hotbed for an indoor wedding with triple digit people.
Okay. So this is what was remarkable. So he goes to talk to Anthony Davis and LeBron about this. All right. And now let's keep in mind that the Lakers are down guards. Avery Bradley has gone. And now Rondo has broken his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Caruso and LeBron, I have some numbers here that I got to use on the jump today that I didn't end up using because this segment got cut, but I'm going to reach it. You know that, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that two man lineup data is the be all end all. But the LeBron Caruso duo has outscored opponents by 20.8 points per 100 possessions this year. 115 offensive efficiency, which means per 100 possessions, when they're on the court, they score 115 points. 94 defensive efficiency, which means per 100 possessions, when they're out there together, they give up 94 points.
How many minutes did you say?
They've played at least 300. It's the best two-man lineup in the entire NBA to play at least 300 minutes. The second best lineup, by the way, is Eric Bledsoe and Giannis. Okay, so Caruso and LeBron, like, during the season, like, Laker fans were like, stop playing Rondo, start playing Caruso, you know?
Not a bad point.
So he goes to LeBron and AD, and here's what Caruso said. This quote is gorgeous, and I just want to commend Alex for saying this and being very delicate. They supported my decision either way, Caruso said. They also helped me realize how important I am to what we are trying to do here, now that Avery didn't make it and Rondo hurt his hand, and that there is some added responsibility. Can you imagine how that conversation went? LeBron might have said, like, hey, listen, man, I know it's your sister. I know she only gets married once, but what are you doing?
You're not going anywhere.
And he didn't. And he did. And I feel bad for him. You know, I mean, he and I have talked. He has a connection to Omaha. His family is from here. He comes back every summer for the College World Series, not this summer. I just find the story amazing, Jackie.
Yeah, well, it's just it's getting to the nitty gritty here now, you know.
And now that's what LeBron said, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, maybe if Avery Bradley hadn't hadn't made the decision he had. Maybe if Rondo, you know, maybe the Lakers could feel a little different, a little more magnanimous about the nuptials. But it's just, I think, and that's why I was saying, you know, when we did that fact or fiction thing, I don't know if you, I forget who I had to do it with, but fact or fiction, this is LeBron's best shot, or, you know, is LeBron going to dominate, or some question like that. And it's like, of course he's going to, because nobody in the league, nobody understands the mental gymnastics of what it takes to win better than LeBron. There's not one current player in the league that's better at it than him. I will stand by that. He has the mental temerity, the mental tenacity, and knows exactly what it takes. And it begins with just a focus, right? This, you've got to be almost like have tunnel vision. And so all this other stuff, I'm sure at some point LeBron's like, dudes, I know we're in Orlando, I know everybody's fishing, whatever, but remember why we're here. Every team needs to be having that conversation with their players.
I wonder if Caruso went to Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith and asked their advice. And if so, what it would have been.
Yeah, I just talk about wanting to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
You know, I have to say, did you guys check out what they did with the courts today? By the way, the fact that we've even gotten to today, no positive tests earlier this
incredible.
Week. Incredible. The bubble has been formed. Now, whether the bubble can stay connected, that's a different question. The bubble has been formed. They've gotten the virus out. You know, maybe not everybody is thrilled with the food, but they're feeding everybody. Everybody's got everything that they need. There's been MRIs. There's been x-rays. There's been everybody's getting their treatment. Everybody's getting in the right places. All the equipment is there. The media is there. I mean, there's complaining here and there, and not everything's going to be perfect, but what an accomplishment just to get to this point. I mean, it's got a hold to be worthwhile, but I mean,
by the way, nobody wants to hear complaints about the food, especially from Troy Daniels, who even remembered he was in the league.
Well, he was the only guard active on the Nuggets.
Well, team. Yeah, but like when he complained about the food, it's like I was like, oh yeah, Troy Daniels on. I didn't realize he was on the like. Troy Daniels, shut up and cash a check, dude.
I mean, like, you know, I hold the NBA's feet to the fire as much as anybody. Well, I am here to say. It's just amazing. Dave Weiss, who is one of the guys who is leading this whole effort, a guy in the you probably have never heard his name, who's in the hierarchy of the league office, who's like the COVID czar, and everything. And Byron Spruell, who is the head of operations. The amount of work that went into this is just amazing. But do you guys see the way the courts are set up? They don't want them to have empty stands, so they've encircled the court in backdrops, and for each team that's the home team, they have plastered their logos, and they're like today I was watching the Clippers game, and they had like you would see in the Staples Center, LAR way, their branding, their logos, you know, they were featuring. You know, they're some of the stuff that they were doing, like, you know, featuring Doc Rivers and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot that's been put into this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been, listen, you know, what Adam said it himself. We're going to try to create a bubble. If it pops, it pops. But let's just try to create the bubble first. So to your point, it's a huge step forward. And there are so many moving pieces. It's hard to imagine it's going to stay this way the whole time, right? But it's look, compared to the NFL, where players are going to show up and then go home to their families and have dinner. I mean, how on earth is that going to work?
Well, compared to MLS, you know, where the biggest concern was, obviously, you're bringing guys in from all over the country, players, staffers, everything. And so what's the first week, you know, because guys can test negative but still be carrying it and just not be to the point where they're positive yet. What's the first week or so going to be like, where MLS had some serious problems? You know, they had to basically tell some teams, okay, hey, you got to go. And so to get through this first week batting 1,000, I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment, and also extremely fortunate.
Yeah. So the one thing that has just been a little, you know, been a downer is that, you know, Zion had to leave. The Pelicans, came out with a statement today saying that Zion is indeed tested every single day since he's been gone and has tested negative, which is code for, you know, if he's able to come back, which is what the Pelicans think. And, you know, in talking to some people, they really do think he's going to come back, whatever he's dealing with. You know, I hope it's all okay. I don't know. But it's code for, hey, he's on track for a 4-day quarantine when he comes back. But the league has to ask questions about that too. And that was one of the things that was in that Zach Lowe story, was they asked a whole bunch of questions about Caruso, where he was going, you know, deciding whether he was going to be excused or not. The league will have to ask a bunch of questions about where Zion's been and stuff like that. And that it's more than just, hey, you've tested negative. The league has to decide what sort of risk situations you've been in as well.
Do you think the same exact standards would be there for Caruso or Zion? Oh, only 99 people? Okay, hey, you're good.
76% were wearing masks? Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they got to do what's right for the bubble.
Right? Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things where, knock on wood, this doesn't happen, but if a team has an outbreak, I think the standard for sending the Lakers home would be a little bit different than the standard for sending the Wizards home.
I don't see how it can be.
I don't feel like I'm going out on too thin of a limb with that one.
Well, Lord, so just give me an example of what you mean by that.
I'm saying that the Wizards are a hell of a lot more expendable than the Lakers. I'm saying
So let's say 3 Lakers get test positive, 3 Wizards test positive. What
the Wizards are probably gone. The Lakers, I don't think they are.
I don't know if the magic number is. I think I'm calling shenanigans on that.
I think there's a reason that the NBA and Adam Silver have been very non-committal about what exactly that threshold would be, because I think that's based, number one, I think they're figuring it out on the fly. Number two, I think it's based on circumstances, because as much as, you know, they can come out and say stuff that sounds great, they can come out and say, for example, it's about the data, not the date, and then still end up, okay, we've got to get this
punt,
thing in.
They went to punt formation on that sucker.
Oh, boy. Hey, okay, it's about the data in Florida, which is battling Texas, neck and neck with Texas for the, you know, epicenter of the pandemic right now.
Silly me. I mean, I was pessimistic on this happening because I thought that the data was going to matter. I was looking at the data saying, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And then they go, yeah, actually, no, we decided to move the goalposts.
It's not about the data. It's about the date, because it's about the dollars. And let me tell you, the Lakers would influence the dollars a hell of a lot more than the Wizards.
So, Jackie,
than Alex Caruso.
I don't know if the magic number is 3. I don't know if they know what the magic number is.
Right.
I think we would all like to believe that the rules would be applied the same. I have to agree with McMahon, and this is a star system.
That would be pretty hard to explain to your players' union. That's all I'm saying.
No, because they're pretty interested in the bottom line, too.
Yeah. There's a lot more average players than elite players in the players' union.
Yeah, and the average player's income is going to be based in large part on how much revenue is generated in the bubble. It's a business.
Yeah. I know it's a business, but I don't know. Well, hopefully we don't have to worry about it. Hopefully
I know.
It's a scenario that doesn't occur, but
yeah,
I think that would they'd get themselves in some pretty hot water.
I think the Wizards might in that situation. The Wizards might make the decision for them. Yeah, wouldn't even put it on the league. So, all right. Well, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it. I'm enjoying basketball being back. I'm enjoying these scrimmages. We're gonna be seeing stuff, and it's a relief. It's just. And by the way, I was watching Bol Bol today at like 3 o'clock Central. Get used to afternoon basketball. I know.
It's so hard, though, isn't it? It's just hard.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm prepared to watch 12-hour basketball every day on day on end, but
to make a living.
So that's true. So many people are working from home. I don't know if productivity is going to go down because we're going to have midday basketball for a lot of folks. So, all right. Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Andrew Han. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great end of your week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.